Welcome to Good News from the Good Book with Dr. Tim Rader, Senior Pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church, located in Kinross, Michigan. Stay with us for the next 30 minutes as we bring you a message from God's Word.
Bible baptism, believers' baptism. After born again, then they get saved. Always that way in the Word of God, never in a different order than that. Not little babies getting baptized, but adults, children that are old enough to know right from wrong. They get saved, they get baptized. I challenge you, in fact, I'll pay $10,000. I'll go to the bank and I'll borrow the money. Anybody that can prove to me from the Word of God that it's in any other order than that. And baptism does not save. Baptism is a picture of salvation, just like the Lord's table is. First two steps of the Great Commission, evangelism. We're to reach the world. As a matter of fact, if you read in the gospel, no, read in the book of Romans, and it states that they reached the whole world with the gospel of Jesus Christ in that first century. And we have record of it. That's what the Word of God says, written by way of inspiration. We're to preach the gospel to every creature. Then the next step is a little bit tougher, and that's getting people, that's the next level. It's getting people to identify with Christ openly. People sometimes, they get saved and they don't go any further than that, and they're stunted. They're right there. That's as far as they go. Then there's a whole lot they don't understand. They don't have the full blessing of God upon their life, but others have surrendered and they've been baptized. It's not a work of grace. It's just identifying with Jesus Christ. Real simple. And it's important. That's why Jesus told us to do it. And I preached that last Sunday morning. Let's read here, and then we'll get to the third part. Again, in Matthew in chapter 28, verse 16, then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. He told them to go there. And when they saw him, they worshiped him. But some doubted. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. And you make no mistake about it. And I think I want to emphasize that right now. Jesus Christ is God. He is the very God. He said, when you have seen me, you have seen the Father. He is God. So he speaks with authority. Verse 19, go. Not a casual bump your way through life, sedate Christianity. New Testament Christianity is to be bold and action-packed and exciting. He says, go ye therefore and teach all nations. No prejudices. No partiality. It's not for just the rich or the religious elite. Teach all nations. That's evangelism. And then baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. You identify. They're to hook up. They're to identify with Jesus Christ. And I would encourage you, don't be ashamed of Jesus. Don't be ashamed of being called a Christian. Don't be ashamed to identify with the Lord Jesus Christ and what he did on the cross. And don't be that spaghetti spine kind of Christianity that out of the side of their mouth talks about the big man upstairs. Man, you don't see that in the New Testament. And so don't even go there. That is weak. That is weak. He says, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. And then he comes to verse 20, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always. I'll not forsake you, even unto the end of the world or the end of the age. You're not alone. It is a great Bible truth. Verse 20, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. That is discipleship. Stand with me one more time. Let's have a quick word of prayer. Everybody stand up. Let's bow our heads. And our Father, we come to you now. And God, we pray you take over in this service. Sometimes I get in the way. And God, keep me from going on any rabbit trail that I should not be going on. Lord, just help me to communicate what discipling other people is really all about. I pray, God, you'd speak to all of our hearts. The oldest saint and the youngest babe in Christ. God, may we accomplish your work here this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. I hope you get a little vision this morning. A healthy church is a church that has people at every level. They have babes in Christ. Babies have no discipline. Babies make messes. And babies make a lot of noise. That's what I know about babies. And they look like little old men. That's what I know about babies. All right, that's them. All right, those are babes. There are babes in Christ. And that's right where they are. Now, unfortunately, there are some people that are babes in Christ, and they should be way over there, but they're still babes in Christ. They haven't followed God. They make a lot of noise. They make a lot of messes. And they're babes. And every healthy church has got to have babes in Christ. Hopefully, they're newly born babes in Christ. Just gotten saved. And then we have adolescents. Adolescents, I've done a lot of contemplating about over the years. And you know what teenagers are all about, and even young adults. Some of them are, an adult in a kid's body, or they are a little kid in an adult's body. It's a period of transition. It's tough. Sometimes they want to play with little trucks and toys and dolls and that kind of thing, and other times they want to be the adult. That's an adolescent right there, right? And they really have a difficult time in this transition time. That's where the church has got to be there. That's where the family's got to be there for them. Very important. I'm going to preach a little bit about that tonight, all right? So we've got babes in Christ. We got those that have, they've taken that first step. They've gotten baptized, and they've grown just a little bit, but they still got a long ways to go. And then we have the elderly, the saints of God that are, let's call them the mature. Unfortunately, sometimes they are just little kids in old people's bodies. But, you know, they're the mature in the faith. And any New Testament church that is fulfilling the Great Commission has people that are babes, they just got saved. Has people that are adolescents, they're growing, but they've got some problems yet. They're in transition. And they've got the elderly, which have never arrived. They're never going to arrive here on this earth. But at least now they've got some discernment. And they've got some understanding of the Word of God. And they're able to help. Any healthy church is going to have all of that going on all at the same time. A church that just evangelizes is a church full of babies. A church that doesn't evangelize, they're going to die off. Pretty soon, they're all gray hairs in the church. That's all they have. And the next generation, they're gone. And that's unfortunate. The New Testament church has got to be a church that is blessed of God. And to be blessed of God, we're to preach the gospel to every creature and never stop. Do the work of an evangelist and never stop. Go ye therefore into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature and never stop. A church of adolescents, where they're baptizing people. People are growing in grace. They have not arrived. There's a little back and forth there, but they're growing. And then they're discipling these people. They're helping them to grow. Take your Bibles and turn to the Psalms. Psalm 71. Psalm 71 and verse 18. The evangelism, I will tell you this morning, the preaching of the gospel, the being a soul winner and sharing the truth, this is the easy part. It really is. You can win people to Christ if you'll just be bold, if you'll just be filled with the Holy Spirit. God will use you. This is the easy part. As far as church growth, this is the easy part. The hard, then it's another level, another step to follow the Lord in the waters of baptism. And that isn't all there is to adolescence, but you get them baptized. That's another level. That's a step of commitment. They're saying, yeah, I want to identify. Yeah, I know what Jesus has done for me. I'll be obedient. I'll obey the command. I'll be baptized. I'm in, all right? The third step is the hardest. Where the hard work is. I'm talking about discipleship. Growing people in grace. It's the most rewarding and the most exasperating part of the ministry. It's difficult. This is where you've got to roll up your sleeves and sweat just a little bit in the work of preaching and sharing and growing the church. This is the hard part. This is the time-consuming part. Getting them saved, that's the easy part. Getting them baptized, that's a step of commitment. You get them there, man, you got them going, all right? But to get them to the place where they're being discipled, that takes time. That next generation, that's what I'm concerned about here at Fundamental Baptist Church. The next generation. I see what's going on all around us. I see what's going on in the mainline denominations. I understand the weakness. I understand the fact that they're top heavy and they're collapsing under their own weight. As a matter of fact, you can research it. Every single mainline denomination is going backwards. They're losing. They're losing in numbers. They're going backwards. It's a terrible thing. And they're buying into the world to try to grow their church. And that's a terrible thing. That ain't going anywhere. I'm telling you, I know that to be true. The church that is a Great Commission church is a church that's going to be blessed of God. Look what it says here in verse 18, Psalm 71. David here says, now also, when I'm old and gray-headed, O God, forsake me not, until I have showed thy strength unto this generation and thy power to everyone that is to come. David's final, one of his final prayers was this: God, would you keep me alive so I can show your strength and your power unto the next generation? This generation has no idea what's going on. Someone has got to be there to show them the Lord Jesus Christ, and that it's his power that's real, and only his strength that is real. As a New Testament local church right here at Fundamental, and anybody else that's listening, we've got to mentor, we have got to disciple, we've got to pass on the baton to the next generation. Now that doesn't mean you pass on the baton. Now here's where the illustration fails. All right, you pass the baton on, and I remember I used to run the relays, right? You pass on to the baton to that next runner, and then you stay in your lane, and then you get off the track. That's where the picture breaks down. If you're still breathing, you're supposed to keep running the race. If you've still got air going in and out of your lungs and your heart is still beating, God hasn't taken you home yet, then you're here for a reason. And I'm telling you, that reason is to mentor the next generation. Oh, by the way, I thought of this while I was studying this week. This doesn't leave the bald-headed people out. He talks about the gray-haired people. Bald-headed people, you're in this as well, all right? I know, getting old is a tough thing. I said this morning in the grandstand, I don't think a lot of people caught on. You know, I used to think 51 was old, and I did. You know, and I can remember making fun of Dale Bishop and others because they're 51. Man, now I am 60 years old. This is unbelievable to me. And right now, this moment, this is as old as I've ever been. Right now, right here standing in this place, this is as old as I've ever been. As a matter of fact, I can say that again right over here. Right now, this moment, this is as old as I have ever been. We're all getting older. And if you see me pulling my pants up a lot lately, There's a reason for that, and I figured it out, all right? Psalm 71 says we're to reach out to the next generation. There's Proverbs 16:31. Let's go over there. Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 31. The hoary head or the gray head is a crown of glory if it be found in the way of righteousness. Okay, let's get right down to it. If you're not the Proverbs, you're too late. Go to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy and chapter 2. Discipling the next generation. Mentoring the people that are before us. I want you to know that discipleship, we meet for evangelism and we go out into the world for evangelism. We meet for baptism. We see people get baptized. They get baptized in the authority of the New Testament local church, and we shout amen. That's a wonderful thing. They become part of the actual church body right here at Fundamental Baptist Church. And then in discipleship, man, we got to be doing it 24/7. I already said this. I want to say it again. This is where the work is. Being an evangelist, being the soul winner, although it seems like that's the hard part, that's not the hard part. That's the easy part. If you will speak forth the gospel, people will get saved. Period. God will use you. People will get saved. Baptizing them, another step. Discipleship, mentoring them, whatever you want to call it. That's another step altogether. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 1 and 2. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Paul says to Timothy, his young son in the faith, Timothy, who is now a preacher, a pastor. And he said, be strong in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not for wimps. New Testament Christianity is not for sissies. You can hide in the beer crowd. That doesn't take any guts at all. You can talk like the world and actually be someone who's born again, but now you're living like the world. You're a coward, and that's why you're there. It takes guts to stand up for God. You give me somebody who's right with God, man or woman, and they get filled with the Holy Spirit, they know what boldness is. They know what courage is, and God bless them, everyone. He said, be strong, Timothy. Be strong in the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. And you find faithful men, and you teach them whatsoever I've taught you. In other words, find somebody to mentor. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. Just go back a book. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 2. And send Timotheus, our brother, a minister of God, and our fellow laborer in the gospel of Christ, to establish you and to comfort you concerning your faith. You see, we are to be all evangelists. We are all to do the work of an evangelist. It is the work of every New Testament Christian, every born-again believer, to spread the gospel, pastor and non-pastors. evangelists and non-evangelists. We are all to share the truth. That's New Testament Christianity. And then we help them and they get baptized. And then we're to get them, we're to teach them all things whatsoever I have taught you. That's what the scripture says. Paul said to Timothy, just like I did for you, you find somebody else and you disciple them. You mentor them. Acts chapters 1 through 5, between 25 and 50,000 people were reached with the gospel and became part of the church at Jerusalem in those early chapters of the New Testament church. It's God just using his people. I did some simple math, and it's always just astounding to me, but it always breaks down. If I won one person per year to the Lord and then mentored that same person and taught them to do the same, at the end of 2 years, there'd be two of us. At the end of 2 years, there'd be four of us. At the end of 3 years, there'd be 16 of us carrying out the New Testament commission. At the end of 4 years, there'd be 256 of us. In the fifth year, there'd be 65,536 of us. But it keeps getting broke down somewhere along the line where we're not the New Testament Christians we are called to be. I'm not defeatist about this. I'm not kicking you in the belly right now. I'm telling you, we're all made of the same stuff, and we all have no excuse. And we can be used of God. Find somebody to mentor like Barnabas did Paul. I was going to turn there this morning and spend some time there, but we really don't have time to look at chapter 11. And before that, chapter 9. Mentoring and discipling. That's what this ministry is about next to evangelism. That's why we have Canaanland Bible Camp. That's why we have Maplewood Baptist Academy. That's why we have Baptist Pioneer Mission. That's why we have Sunday school. That's why we have youth groups. That's why we have sports. Not for statistics. There's all the unstructured times where we need to be discipling all of the time. Everything is a platform that God puts in your hand. If you're out in the cornfield and you're with a grandson, there's a time to talk to that grandson. Everything is a platform. If you're driving down the road and someone cuts you off in traffic, how about instead of complaining about it, use that to speak to a granddaughter and somehow get Jesus Christ into the conversation. Unload your wagon. That's my second point. Number one, find somebody to mentor. This isn't very academic, but this is really Bible. Find somebody to mentor. Every single one of us. Let's disciple somebody. Not only be a Sunday school teacher or a camp counselor, but we're to be doing it all the time. Then when you find that person, unload your wagon. Make somebody stronger in the Lord. Make somebody more godly. Help somebody make an impact. Help somebody to love Jesus more than they did before. That is mentoring. That is, too many of us, we get in life and we just kind of set God aside. Look for opportunities to evangelize. Look for opportunities to disciple. Now go to Acts in chapter 9. Acts in chapter 9. Verses 20 through 28. And straightway he preached Christ in the synagogues. This is Paul after his salvation. I want to read verse 20 because it's just Bible. It says, and straightway, this is Paul after his salvation. And straightway he received Christ in this, or he preached Christ in the synagogues. That's where people were. That he is the Son of God. There's boldness there. But all that heard him were amazed and said, is not this he that destroyed them which called on this name in Jerusalem and came hither for that intent, that he might bring them bound unto the chief priests? Isn't this Saul of Tarsus who came here to incarcerate Christians? And now he's preaching Jesus. Verse 22 says, but Saul increased the more in strength and confounded the Jews which dwelt at Damascus, proving that he is the very Christ. Saul knew his Bible. Remember, he was a Pharisee of the Pharisees. Verse 23, and after that many days were fulfilled, the Jews took counsel to kill him. But their laying await was known unto Saul, known of Saul, and they watched the gates day and night to kill him. Then the disciples took him by night and led him down by the wall in a basket. And when Saul was come to Jerusalem, he essayed to join himself to the disciples, but they were all afraid of him and believed not that he was a disciple. They thought he was a spy. But Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles and declared unto them how he had seen the Lord in the way and that he had spoken to him and how he had preached boldly at Damascus in the name of Jesus. Probably one of the few times that somebody had to speak Paul's testimony for him. Barnabas said, this is what happened. Bang, 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 bang. And Saul was just standing there. And he was with them coming in and going out of Jerusalem. And he spake boldly in the name of the Lord Jesus. And he disputed against the Grecians, but they went about to slay him. Saul was a changed man. The point is, somebody was there for Saul when he needed him. His name was Barnabas. Barnabas was a discipler. Barnabas was a mentor. The word Barnabas, the name means son of consolation. There needs to be that in the family of God. There needs to be people specifically gifted in that way and using it all the time. But the truth is, we need to all be disciplers. We need to all be sons and daughters of consolation. Man, let me help you in the faith. Let me help you understand that passage of Scripture. Let me help you to understand what's going on in your life right now. And just being that discipler. Unload your wagon. All that you know of God. you bring them along. You pay it forward. You be that one that is the discipler and the mentor. And Barnabas was known for that again and again. Man, he did it with John Mark later on. Man, because the truth is this. You don't know who's really saved and who's really not saved. You just go by what they tell you. Because you can't see their heart. And there are good actors. There are good people that are fakes. They're good at faking it. They're pseudo-Christians. They're not really born again. On the other hand, there are those that you think, well, I don't know if they're real or not. And they are. They're just babes. Someone's got to help them. Someone has got to mentor them. Disciple them. Bring them along. Will people fall by the wayside along the way? Absolutely. You know, if we didn't lose anybody over the years, we'd be a church of 1,000 people. We'd be a church of 2,000 people. It's hard not to get discouraged about that. Say, man, where's so-and-so? And where's so-and-so? And what happened to so-and-so? But you know, it was even true in the apostles that Jesus chose. There was a Judas. Man, and that pattern has multiplied itself out again and again and again. And on the other hand, there are John Marks in our midst that fall by the wayside, but they're genuinely saved. And if someone would go to them and rescue them, they're born again. They just need to be carried for a while. They need somebody to help them for a while. You know, I'm preaching this, and I know we understand that's the ministry. That's what Fundamental Baptist Church is about. But you know somebody like that. Maybe you haven't seen them in church in a while. Don't write them off. I would say, they had their chance. Man, that's not what it's about. Go to them. Love them. Be gentle with them. The Bible says in Galatians 6, in meekness, help that brother that has erred from the way, knowing that you're capable of the very, very same sin. We're to be disciplers. And I'm telling you, you're busy. If we're a New Testament church that is evangelizing, and we are, we got to do more of it. We got to do a better job. It'd be great if we had 100% participation. Boy, would we jump ahead then. Everybody at it, not just 25 soul winners, 400 soul winners. Everybody out doing it. We'd make an impact. But not only doing that, we need to be discipling these, helping them grow. Get them baptized, help them to grow, get them to get to the place where they're able to stand on their own two feet. But we're going to help them every time they need help. And along the way, people are going to go backwards sometimes. And we need to be there for them as well. That makes it an awful busy ministry. Some of you grew up in big families. Remember what it was like? Man, I remember filling up my plate and my pocket, so I made sure I got enough food at the dinner table. That's just the way it was, man. I knew that. Every once in a while, I can even remember as a boy going to West Pier. Yeah, West Pier's been around that long. And I can remember getting French fries and putting French fries in my pocket, but I wasn't the only one. I saw Bud doing the same thing, just so you know that. Because I knew there was only so many French fries and I wanted to get my share. You know, and big families are noisy and messy sometimes, and sometimes there's a little bit of chaos. Not all the time, thank the Lord for that, but that does happen. The same thing is true with the New Testament church. There needs to be, we need to be on that edge all the time. If we had everybody that has been won to Christ, we'd be a church of 2,000 or 3,000 people. I kid you not. I kid you not. I've been here for 36 years. I'm telling you, that's the way it'd be. But don't get disheartened if people fall by the wayside. You know what we got to do? Keep on evangelizing. That'll replenish the ranks. It's constant. The church that stops us evangelizing is going to die off. That's what's going to happen. So we keep on evangelizing. And it's good that we're known for the gospel. That's a good thing. We'll keep on evangelizing. And we'll keep filling in the ranks. But at the same time, don't give up on anybody that has fallen by the wayside. Now, physically, you need to spend your time with somebody else the majority of your time. You find somebody to disciple that wants to be discipled. But emotionally and spiritually speaking, you don't give up on anybody. You leave the door open, never condone their sin, never condone with what they're doing is, if they're doing something wrong, that never let them think in any way that that's right, but you still leave the door, you leave the light on for them. You try to be that kind of person, that kind of New Testament Christian. And I'll make you a promise that God made a long time ago, they'll come back. They're genuinely saved, they'll come back, as long as that light's on, as long as the door's unlocked. They'll come back. Something just occurred to me, a story I read a long time ago. It was in a periodical. I don't remember names, I'm sorry, true story. Lady that got saved, a teenage girl, fell away from God, and Christian parents, and started doing her own thing, and ran away, and she was gone, broke her mama's heart and broke her daddy's heart, and they'd cry every night, and they'd pray, and last thing that the dad would do before he'd go to bed every night would go out and turn the porch light on because he knew his daughter was out there somewhere. Later on in life, his daughter gets right with God and comes back and knocks on the door, and grand reunion, gets right with God and gets involved in the church, and just that the daughter that he remembered as a little girl, when she was a little girl. And her testimony was this: Dad, there were a lot of times I was just parked down the street in the dark. And for pride or whatever reason, I was afraid to come home. But you always left the light on. That's what the church needs to do. Man, I could make, Pastor Josh, Pastor Bill, we could do the same thing. We could list people. Man, they used to come, they used to come, they used to come, they used to come. We're still growing. You know, we're still evangelizing, but they used to come. Man, if they were all just here, and they eventually come back. Don't they, Ron? They eventually come back. We just got to leave the light on. Don't slam the door. Don't yell, hey, don't let the door hit you on the way out, buddy. Man, be that New Testament Christian. Here's the Great Commission. This is it. God said, here's your marching order. Here's your mandate for the 21st century. You don't compromise any truth. You get them saved, you evangelize. It's for everybody. You get them baptized, that's for everybody that gets saved. And then you grow them, and that never stops. That's 24/7. You roll up your sleeves, and you grow them in the grace of God. Be strong, and don't ever get discouraged by people that fall by the wayside. That's going to happen. It's going to happen again and again. But there needs to be an anchor. There needs to be somebody that's solid. There needs to be, I would say to you this morning, there needs to be a New Testament church in Chippewa County that believes the book from the book of Genesis to the book of Revelation. A New Testament church in Chippewa County that practices and lives out the whole counsel of God. That isn't about building a denomination. That's about building the family of God, and it's Christ that builds this church. One that never compromises, because I want to say this the best way I can, because there's a lot of different things going on in the world today. The entertainment, seeker-sensitive, social drinking, beach attitude, weak versions of the Bible kind of churches, where will they be in 10 years? What kind of lighthouse will they be?
Thank you for listening to Good News from the Good Book, broadcast under the direction of Dr. Tim Rader, Senior Pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church in Kinross, Michigan. For more information, please visit our website at fbconline.net. We invite you to stay tuned for the next broadcast when Dr. Tim Rader will bring you Good News from the Good Book.